All right, life. Now, if you look at this picture, sometimes I think we feel a little bit, you know, this is what life is like. It's like, really, Lord, another bunch of stairs. I've just come up some. Look at this. You know, you sometimes go in life and it's tough and so on, and then you hit a plateau and things are like all quiet and it's rustig and you're on that landing, you know, and it's blessed, and you and your child, children are getting along, they're obedient for goodness sake, you know, they're doing their homework, you know, your wife listens to you. Oh, is that not one that we get right now? Wives, your husband listens to you. He actually picks up his stuff, for goodness sake, for the first time in how long? The car is clean. Life is good. There's money in the bank. In Jesus' name. But life is good. And then when you turn around, you go like, I think we're there in a bit. I feel like I'm climbing a bit of stairs at this time. But you know, stairs is not all bad. You get some legs. You know, it's leg day. I'm climbing some stairs. But life can be tough sometimes, right? Okay, you can confess that life is really not awesome. Or every, you know, you wake up and it's all good. But we've been given life. We are blessed to have life. God has blessed us to be alive at this time. So Francis Chan says this, if you can go. Our greatest fear should not be of failure, but of succeeding at things in life that don't really matter. Ouch! Did you feel it? Our greatest fear should not be of failure, but being busy, pursuing, chasing after the stuff that actually don't matter. Now, I can just pray now and close this, because if you go and sit and just ponder about this one for long enough, you know, it might change a few things. So I want to ask you this morning, what's in your box? If you can go that next slide. What's in your box? Now, what is this box about? So if this box is life, what is in your box? Can you even fit everything in the box? You know, you're trying to stamp it in there, you know, just want to fit another thing in there. You know, you've got only so many 24 hours. In the day, only so many 24 hours. What was that? I mean, at least you know exactly what I'm talking about. Now, there's only 24 hours in the day, 7 days in a week, and we're trying to cram in as much as we can into this thing we call life. Sometimes by choice, sometimes not. Right? If your life was this box, and you can only put one thing in it, what would you put in it? If your life is this box, and there's only one thing that matters, what will you put in it? The thing that you will pursue and treasure most, what will you put in? The thing that defines you and gives you purpose, what will you put in the box? You will give anything for it. Do anything for it. It's the one thing that you will pursue with everything that is in you. What is that one thing? I think it's important for us to consider this question. And this question comes from a book that I was reading, in that this the guy talks about, he gets to kind of, he was a bit younger than what I am now, and he's sort of very successful, lots of houses and, you know, holiday houses and boats and everything. He's really successful. He's got everything he ever dreamed of. And he's in a space in his life where he's going, Lord, what's next? You know, I've got, let's say, 15 years left. What do I do with this 15 years? So he goes and he sees a coach, not a born-again coach, but he sees this coach. And in this coaching sessions, the person asks him, what is in your box? What will you put in this box that you call life? And he found himself in a dilemma because instinctively, the first thing he wanted to put in the box was a dollar sign, a money sign. Because he was very successful, and this is something that he's good at, he's pursuing, he's doing this, he's getting it right. So, and this is the thing he's been pursuing up to this point. It's not that like Jesus wasn't there, but for the first time in his life, he's faced on, if only one thing matters, what will it be? He says, and he has this wrestle between Jesus and money. And the truth of the matter is, we all face that challenge when it comes to life. What do you do with a box? What do you place in the box? What is the most valuable thing to you that you put in the box? If you can only choose one, and you can really only choose one, what will you put in that box? Matthew 6, 19 to 21 says the following. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Ouch. Where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. Is this not the things we complain about? You live in Cape Town, your car is rusting. Maybe you don't see it. If it was in Durban, you would see it. I mean, rust walks down the road. It's a terrible place. You know, here we have, who's ever had moths in their cupboards? That's a pesky little thing that suddenly you have holes in your t-shirts and your stuff and you're like, yeah, maybe it was the braai. I remember growing up with the mothballs in the cupboards. Yeah. And you take it out and everything stinks, mothballs. Or cockroaches. Yes. All right, I got the one that matters. Huh? That little creepy little things. Man, and it comes. You're standing in your kitchen preparing your lekker piece of salad and then, vroom. We stayed in a house in, Brain's not working this morning, apparently. No, close to El Shaddai. Where did we stay? Erika. We stayed in that house, but when we moved in, I don't know what the people did before us. Maybe they bred the stuff. So we move in and these cockroaches are there. I mean, this is, and obviously we declare war. But I found out it's not that easy if you, in that point, it takes quite a bit to get rid of the moths and the cockroaches and the stuff that destroys and so on, the stuff that we actually love. So this scripture is saying, why are you gathering? Why are you laying up treasures? Why is this the most important thing in your life? And the one thing, if people break into you, and I've been through this. I was going away for a weekend, I had my whole bag packed. And when I got home, there was police and stuff at the house. And the guy, broke in, took my whole bag and everything. And I had a pair of lekker tekkies, man. It was standing there ready just to go on my weekend, and Vrintivari left me his old two pair of shoes. Hey, what's with your rocker? How can you do that to me? You know how violated I felt? The fact that someone was in my house, took my taggies, and they were kind of new as well. I was sentimental. But at least he left me a pair. Must have been a Christian burglar. I'm taking everything, but I'm leaving you something, champ. Okay? You could be grateful for what you've received. But if you've had a break-in, that is very personal. You feel violated. The very things that is precious to you is gone. We've got friends that a fire broke out in their house while they weren't there. They lost everything. All the photos and everything. They had to start everything. They literally had the clothes and the bodies in the car that they left with. The rest was gone. Yo, that's hectic. So it puts the scripture for you a bit in context of your life. And then verse 20 says, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy, where thieves do not break in. I'm so glad. And there will be no load shedding. I mean, yes, but I know this ruler. He's quite cool. This ruler, I mean, the light just comes from him. So verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And I want to say to you, when I ask you the question, what is in the box? And I say to you, what is the one thing that you place in that box? It challenges this very thing. It challenges where your treasure is. And listen, I've been journeying with this now for a while. So I want to tell you, it's a journey. What will you put in the box? So you are a Christian. You know that you are saved. And it's absolutely amazing. But what will you do with your faith? What will you do with your faith? Consider this. How much do you worry about your finances, your job or deadline, or anything in that regard? Your family, maybe even especially your kids, the world news and world happenings that is happening in this world, the politics, and all the other important stuff. How much do you think of these things? Quantify the minutes quickly. I don't know. What will you do with your faith? Is this really what life is about? That next question. Is this all that life is about? You know, is it about what's happening in this world and, you know, kind of just trying to make it through everything and hoping that somehow Jesus will appear and sort out everything at some point? Is this faith in Jesus Christ, is this all that faith in Jesus Christ is about? Kind of making it through this life. But my question stands, and that's the next question there, if you put it up. What hinders you from doing something with your faith? I guess it determines what's in my box. Because a lot of the stuff that hinders me from actually living and walking by faith is the stuff that I'm trying to cram into that box. Slapping the label on them that they are important. They are crucial. I'm just stuffing it in there. And sometimes those very things, and some of them are actually good things from our perspective, will hinder us to do something with our faith, with this free gift that we have received. The fact that you were a sinner, you are no longer a sinner. You were saved by grace. You are heading for eternity. You are no longer a slave to sin. What hinders you from doing something with your faith? And why do you always say your faith is so small? Because if I read scripture, all we need is a mustard seed. That's pretty tiny for us to do incredible stuff. Randy Alcorn says this, he who lays up treasures on earth spends his life backing away from his treasures. To him, death is loss. Ouch. And then he continues, he who lays up treasures in heaven looks forward to eternity. He's moving daily towards his treasure. To him, death is gain. We're talking about life. We're talking about a free gift that you have received. The fact that you were formed in your mother's womb and God loved you so much to actually do that in great detail. Where is your treasure? Are you looking forward to eternity? Is that where your treasure is? Do you understand that that's where your treasure is? Is that what you're heading towards? You see, because when we as Christians think about this box, then we must face the faith question. We must face the Jesus question. How does my faith in Jesus Christ fit into my life, into my box? Is he the only thing in the box? Am I trying to squeeze him in there with the rest? How will he fit in your box in the future? You see, we all have a past here, right? We understand it. We all made mistakes, right? We all didn't get it all right the first time. We've all had journeys where we've messed up, we got hurt, etc., etc. We wasted time. Why? Because we are professional procrastinators. Okay, some more than others. Thank you, Johannes. I see those hands. We'll give an altar call just now. Sometimes we actually waste so much time with our faith, when I'm speaking about my faith, because I'm delaying. I don't want to do what God is actually putting in front of me. His invitation for more. Then I go, see, because there's other stuff in the box. Now I have to prioritize. Which one gets my time now? And here's the truth about saying no to something. Is if you say no to something, you're actually saying yes to something else. And if you say yes to something, you're saying no to something else. Sometimes you can't have it both ways. What's in your box? But we are here right now. Your past has got no bearing on your decision right now. We have a problem, a past, but what will you do with your faith from this day on? Now, I don't know how to pronounce it. Isaac Bashfi Singer. I got no clue how you pronounce that. That's cool. Bashevis. Okay. That dude said this. Why don't we just have nice names, you know, that we just can pronounce? In any case, life is God's novel. Let him write it. What is God's plan for your life? And what does he want to do with this? What novel does he want to write? What novel does he want to actually produce that will declare his glory to the world? What is he busy writing into your life? And maybe you're going with your eraser going like, no, Lord, I don't think we should do this one. This is a bad one. I'm going through financial crisis. No, Lord. Yeah, but I want to, no. Not doing this one. I've realized in recent times, and you know, the Psalm 23 is an amazing psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. Yes, he leads me beyond, you know, besides these rivers of, and it's amazing. The picture is absolutely glorious. And then there's this little sentence in there which I don't particularly like. He says, and though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and I'm like, Lord, why do you put death in there? And I have to revel in it that wow, even though I sometimes go through the really mislicked times in life, he says, man, I'm right there with you. I'm busy with my novel. Can I take you through this? A I'm sure like me, you have never had a particularly trial time that you go like, yeah, come on, this is awesome. I never feel like that. Like James, you know, consider it all joy when you're going through various trials. I'm like, you must be English. Sorry to all the English people. Must be a Brit. Baby, oh, okay, don't go any further. I don't feel like considering it joy sometimes. I'm like, James, call me, I want to kill you, brother. Why do you write it? You know, that's one of the pages that you go, whoosh. Why is that in the Bible? But God is writing his novel. He's busy with a story, because what James also writes, he says, man, when you've gone through this stuff, when you get to the other side, God would have created stuff in your life that never would have been formed. Why? Because he uses this thing to his glory. He changes everything for his good, for a testimony. You know what's the most awesome thing when I go through stuff and have gone through stuff is when I sit across from someone and we're talking about stuff and the Holy Spirit just says, listen, share that story. And I can share how I went through stuff and God was in it. The valley of the shadow of death is a good place. Just tap someone maybe. Don't go there often, just by the way. You see, but here's the challenge. If I place Jesus Christ in that box, if he's the only thing that I choose, then I have to trust him with everything else. Because if I place him in that box, I'm saying, you've got this, not me. I'm allowing you, I'm trusting you, you're the only thing that I'm going to pursue with my entire life, and I trust that you will sort out everything. Your kids, your wife, your future wife, your wherever, whether you stay in South Africa, whether you don't, when you place him in the box, you say, I'm trusting you with everything else. And yes, the thing about trusting him with everything else is you're not in control any longer. You know how scary that is? That is what we call walk by faith. It's when God actually takes the reins of the life and he goes. You know, and I'll be honest, and even as I went on my sabbatical, I realized how very subtly I tried to take the reins back. And where I again had to go, these don't belong to me any longer, Lord, it's yours. I don't want the reins. If I just look around at my past, then I see how royally I've messed up when I had the reins. And I have to trust him. You see, if we allow him to write the novel of our lives, then I cannot tell him what to write. Then I need to trust him. I need to trust this loving Father to write the best novel ever for this life. Can you put up the next slide quickly? Okay, that's what I just said. Next one. This is where I want to get at. You would have heard we're speaking about this. But you see, when I put Jesus Christ in the center, in that box, then I believe you will live intentionally for eternity. I believe it will change everything that you're about. Every decision that you make, everything that you face, when my life is about intentionally pursuing His plan for eternity, things will change dramatically. When He's in the box, this is what will happen. In short, what does this mean? And we're going to unpack this over the next couple of weeks. I want to unpack that and maybe just give you and help myself as I help you to really put some legs into what does this mean? To live intentionally for eternity. I'm challenged by this. Because the moment I take this life and I'm intentional with it for an eternal purpose, it weighs stuff in my life. In other words, it means I live, you live. In actual fact, when you wake up in the morning, you actually wake up. Not in the light of, you know, the weight of what's coming and following the deadlines and everything, but you wake up realizing that I am alive. I've been granted another day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I can do something with it. Why? Because I'm alive. I'm not dead yet. Just tap someone maybe. If they're cold, we should worry. But if they're not cold, they are alive. It means that God has intention for my life, and I want to intentionally pursue that. Life is not just a random bunch of things slapped together. It's not how I know God. I have come to realize He's so deliberate with some of the things with all of the stuff He does. Even when I'm stupid, He helps me. And then He makes His name great through that. See, it means that I'm intentionally for. That for means I'm aiming at something, for something. So this life is not just for anything. It's for a specific purpose. And that specific purpose is eternity. It means that my life is aimed at eternity. And for eternity, I can only take kingdom stuff with. And I've said this a couple of times, but we all know there's only one thing you can take to heaven. Not your soul. That goes in any case because you go. But there's only one other thing from this earth that you can take with. And it's people. We take nothing else. Not the gold, not the silver, not everything else. We just take that. Ephesians 5:15 says this. Look carefully. Last week we heard, consider your ways. This one says, look carefully then at how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand what God's will is. If you do not know, do not have a revelation of God's purpose for your life, then I want to encourage you to set aside the time, go fast and pray. Ask people to pray with you to get an inclination, an idea of what He wants to do with your life. Because the reality is He's aiming it at something. He wants to aim it at something, but it means that you have to probably place Him in the box alone. So we're going to explore this a bit further in the weeks to come. But I think I want to leave you this week just with one thing. One thing to go and consider, one thing to wrestle with, one thing to go and figure out in your quiet time and your what is the one thing that you will place in the box? And if it is Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, will you trust Him with everything else? Or you're going to try and put... You see, there was someone once said, I don't know if the older Christians maybe will remember this. You know, what's the priorities of life? It's God. Then, and then? Family? Wife? Spouse? Then? Family, then? Work? Church. Oh, church is in there. Oh, okay, just checking. Is that why you're here? Well done. Okay, then work, and then everything else. Lord, wife, coffee, children, something like that. Is that what you're saying? The problem with that thing is this. If they're that close together, it means it's competing for my time and my passion. The actual fact, it should be God. And the rest down here somewhere. His top priority. And when his top priority, these things get sorted out. When I love Jesus, he stirs my heart and I like my wife more. I like my sons, even though they slap me. Don't lie, you do slap me. I mean, you fight me often. Yeah, you bully me. Yeah, a little bit. Okay, must I show them the scars? I'm just teasing. We wrestle together. I'm realizing I'm starting to lose. So I'm enjoying. But what will you put in the box, saints? I think last week as we considered the Sabbath, we heard that we need to consider our ways. And I believe as we walk into this year, there's only one place that I'm trusting God to lead us as a congregation, and that's Jesus Christ. If we are with him, everything will be sorted out. Yes, we're going to have stuff and we're going to do stuff and so on. But man, we're going to aim at Jesus. We want Jesus. He's the only person that we're going to pursue right here, right now.